Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Genesis again. And chapter 32. And I want to read one verse to begin with to emphasize the message. We've been preaching from Genesis using Jacob as our example. We noticed his squeeze, if you want to call it that, how he seemed to put pressure on everything. We noticed his story last night. And tonight we want to read Genesis 32 and verse number 24. And I want to preach for a few moments on Jacob's strengths. Jacob's strengths. The Bible said in verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Now, as we have emphasized so much that Jacob is a man who wrestles, as the text says, as he likes to get a hold on something, as he grabs, as he squeezes. And here in our text, he is again doing so. We know that he is wrestling with an angel of the Lord. And the Bible said that he wrestles until the breaking of the day. As I read that text, I thought about how strong a man would it take to wrestle all night, no matter what he's wrestling with. I'm not near the age of what Jacob was here in this text. He's around 93 years old. I'm 52. It kills me to wrestle all night with myself. If I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm not doing well the next morning. But here Jacob is at somewhere around 93, and he wrestles all night long with an angel until the breaking of the day, and still's not ready to turn loose. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty stout fella. And as we notice throughout the scriptures, looking at Jacob's life, he is a strong man. As a matter of fact, as I study his life, I can only think of maybe one or two other men in the Bible that was anywhere near as strong as he was, as we look at the gamut of it. I know Samson was a strong man when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, but he wouldn't have handled Jacob if he didn't have the Spirit of the Lord on him. I guarantee you that. Jacob would whip him any day. But here I notice in the life of Jacob, let me point out to you this by way of introduction, preface, laying the foundation. Noticing the strengths that Jacob seemed to have and seemed to be magnified. And as I think and as I look and meditate on Jacob's strengths, I've also meditated on my own. And let's not all be pious tonight and say, well, I'm just not strong in any area. Because, first of all, you are not being honest, because we all have those areas of our lives that we like to compete in, or we feel as though that we're pretty good there in some way. And so it is with Jacob. He's real strong. And of course, it is those strengths that we want to look at. The first strength that I would point out to you as far as Jacob is concerned is what I would call his spiritual strength. We'll not take time to read the verses, but in Genesis, of course, chapter 25, we realize that when Jacob is born, he's born with a twin brother, Esau. And God has in working, of course, a birthright and blessing coming down from Abraham to Isaac, and then Next, we'll ultimately come to Jacob and we'll reach all the way to Christ. And by the way, we'll come all the way down to us. But it seems as though that Esau could care less about that spiritual aspect of that blessing. He has discarded it, disregarded it entirely. But there's one thing at least we can say about Jacob, that he does seem to lean a little more toward the spiritual than Esau does. I would have to give him that. He would be one up in that he at least, no matter that he did it in a carnal way, he at least is craving after something that has a spiritual aspect about it. He does want the blessing and he does want the birthright that comes down from Grandpa Abraham and then from Isaac to him. He's a little stronger spiritually. I think, secondly, we could say that he's a little stronger morally. In the book of Genesis, we find that Isaac is disappointed because he finds out that Esau not only has despised the blessing, but he's taken up with the Canaanites and he's married some women of the Canaanites. And Isaac has in mind, he thinks that Esau's going to get the blessing and the birthright, and he don't want him marrying among the Canaanites. He wants him to marry, of course, back in Mesopotamia among the folks that are there. But I am reminded that Jacob doesn't even marry until he's about 70 years old. Can you imagine that? All the time that he lives in Canaan with his father, he doesn't mess with them Canaanite women. 70 years old before he marries. And he marries back over there where, of course, his uncle Laban is, where, of course, Abraham got his wife and Isaac got his wife. So it seems as though that he not only has a little better spiritual strength about him, but we would have to say that he has more of a moral strength about him, a moral sense as far as mixing with this world. He has a spiritual strength. He has a moral strength. I think that he has no doubt he has a religious strength. Genesis chapter number 28 and verse number 20, the Bible said, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will bless me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So we're going to give him credit for being strong religiously. At least he's going to pay his tithes. That's what he said anyway. He said, if I get back here, Lord, if you'll get me back and you'll bless me, you give me a little money, I'll be sure and bring the tithe to you. So he's religious. He said, I'm going to make some vows. He said, Lord, I'll make a vow to you, and I'll keep that vow. Well, I guess maybe he's better off than some folks are that I know. They won't even tithe, let alone go any further than that. So he's got some spiritual strength about him. He's got some moral strength. He's got some religious strength in comparison at least to Esau. In these areas, he is very much stronger. I guess we would have to say that he has some mental strength about him. I mean by that he's smarter than the average guy. I know that he is because he outwits Esau, he outwits his daddy, he outwits Laban. It seems like he outsmarts everybody that he comes in contact. He's got a very strong mind. You don't want to compete with him. I think Jacob is kind of like most businessmen. They might give you the shirt off their back, but you don't want to try to buy it. And Jacob, he might help you out. But if you go to wheeling and dealing with him, brother, you're just going to lose out because I'm going to guarantee he's smarter than you are. And he can do it. And of course, in our text, we notice that he has a very strong physical strength. Physically, he is strong. He wrestles here all night long up into the morning or to the daybreak. If anybody in the Word of God classified as being a very strong man, then Jacob is a strong man, and it seems to be evident everywhere in his life. But isn't it true about all of us that we seem to like to magnify our strengths? We like to let our positives be known, our pluses, no matter what area they are in. I've noticed, I've listened to people talk in the physical area, and boy, we just like to say and imply and suggest, and we're all guilty in measures, don't look at me and grin, about what we've done or what we've achieved or what we've accomplished. And I've even noticed it in the spiritual realm that, you know, some folks who pray a lot, they'll sometimes hint out to you at what time they get up in the morning and pray and how long they pray and so on. Some folks in reading their Bible, they seem to be stronger than other people, but the only problem is they want you to know how many times they've read their Bible or how much they've read their Bible, how often. And I recommend all of that. But I'm simply saying that we sometimes promote those pluses and positives in our lives, those accomplishments, those strong points. But God forbid that anybody should even find out that we've got a weakness. But you know as well as I do, and I must testify to my own heart and my own life, that I have some weaknesses and have had some weaknesses, but I'd be ashamed for anybody else to find out about them. And brother, don't come around asking me. I ain't going to tell you either. If you want to find out how many sermons I've preached, we can sit down and get a calculator and try to tell. I'll tell you all about that. Or how many miles I've traveled, I'll try to figure that out for you. But if you want to know what my weaknesses are, if you want to know what my failures are, if you want to know what my temptations are, if you want to know what my frailties are, I don't carry them around too much on my sleeve I don't highlight them. But do you? We don't. We seem to be proud of our strengths, and we seem to use our strengths to our advantage, and we seem to hope, and we seem to rest, and we seem to somehow rely upon our strengths getting us through. If our strengths don't do it, then God help us, how are we going to get it accomplished? If it's not in our abilities, if it's not in our talents, if it's not in us, if it's not in our strengths, then where's this thing going to end up anyhow? He has all of these strengths. Can I ask you tonight, are you strong? What are your strengths? Do you want to be strong? Would you like to be strong? Are you sad because you're not as strong as what you think someone else is? Well, let me proceed to give you four thoughts in relationship to Jacob's strengths, your strengths, and my strengths that may surprise you, but I think that it will also release you and revive you. First of all, I notice from Jacob's life, from his strengths, from his abilities, I would like to say unto you that his strengths and your strengths are, first of all, unacceptable to God. When Jacob has done all he can do, When you have accomplished your best, you have done it and had it your way and packaged it up and brought it to God, what he's going to say is, I don't want it. I don't want it. Because God is not impressed with how fast we can run, how high we can jump, what our IQ is. He's not impressed with our strengths in all of these areas. The Bible said, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. But why do we so often, even as churches, compare ourselves among ourselves, hoping that somehow we can be higher and stronger than the other, when God Almighty has already said, I reject the strong? I don't want the strong. I don't need the strong. But yet we are so concerned with impressing one another and God Himself with what we can or think we can accomplish. But the truth of the matter is, God does not care for our strengths. He does not want them. He does not need them. And He certainly does not want us coming to heaven bragging about our great list of successes. There won't be anybody in heaven but weak folks anyhow. There won't be any of that long line of strong people who's going to stand in line and tell us how they outwitted the Isaacs and how they overcome the Esau's and how they beat the Laban's and how they threw their own strengths. Honey, if you live your lifetime out in your strengths and you never find out that your strengths are no good to God, you'll end up in hell. Because only those who learn to reject their strengths and to glory in God's strengths will ever enter into heaven. I just wonder how much we're doing to try to get the job done. A little thing I come across here a while back. It said, good morning, this is God. I'll be handling all your situations today. I will not need your help. So have a good day. Your strengths, your abilities, your successes, your strong points, oh, if we could ever realize that, are unacceptable to God. Second thing I want to point out to you. I'm talking about Jacob's strengths. I'm talking about your abilities, my abilities, whatever they may be. His strengths are unacceptable, but secondly, I'd have you to notice that Jacob's strengths are unappreciated. His strengths are unacceptable to God, but they're unappreciated as far as others are concerned. You see, it was his strengths that caused people to dislike him the most. If you listen to Esau, he said, you rightly called him Jacob because he's outwitted me twice. And if I get a chance, I'll kill the jaybird. If you listen to Laban's sons, they said, he's robbed us of all our inheritance. Nobody really likes Jacob, but the reason why they don't like him is not because of his failures and his weaknesses, but inevitably it's because of his strengths. Flashing your strengths will only cause you to be disliked. We must be careful, even in the areas of which God has manifested Himself in our lives, not to make it look as though that it is something we have accomplished, but that it's all in His mercy and in His grace. I think it's best illustrated. I saw a Andy Griffith show, and you know they had the county fair, and if you've ever seen that episode, Miss Johnson always wins the pickles. She cans those pickles, and she always wins first prize, and of course she always shows off about it, always has the attitude, always wants to make sure that Aunt B knows that she always wins. But that's the very sole reason that Aunt B don't like her, because she does win. And the truth of the matter is, in Jacob's life, in your life, in anybody else's life, if you're totally successful tonight, I mean, if you've learned how to achieve in all of your goals, and I mean, you've never had any trouble out of your children, and they're all going to be doctors and lawyers. You've got a clean bill of health from the doctor. You've never even had a backache or a toothache. You've always had the top jobs and made great money. And it seemed as though that in every area of your life you've totally been successful. Don't tell me about it. I won't like you. Why? Because that's not been my road. If that's been so in your life, just give God the credit. And how blessed that is. If He has allowed that to be so, thank God. But if you're thinking that's through your self-effort and through your ability, honey, all you're going to do is create a spirit of being despised by the brethren. Because it is unappreciated by those who are around you. Our strengths are unacceptable. And then they are unappreciated. Isn't that something? To put all of that energy into something and all that success. I've noticed, you know, I travel constantly and I'm among the brethren. And the guy's got the biggest church is always the one that's disliked the most. Now that's carnal, I know that. But that's what the brethren get together and say, well, you know what, he's got that, you know, and they'll begin to, you know. Now, the girl that wins all the contests is the one that everybody's looking for the blemish in. Yeah, but she's got a wart, right? You know, she's pretty, but I've noticed. It just magnifies who you are, and people begin to see really the defects, and they despise you because of the strengths that you seem to set out in front. Oh, Jacob is strong, but I want you to know it is unacceptable to God and it's unappreciated as far as others are concerned. Because you see, most folks cannot feel with you in your successes, but they can associate with you in your frailties and in your weaknesses. But can I say to you, thirdly, as far as Jacob's strengths are concerned, they are not only not acceptable to God, they are not only unappreciated by others, but can I say to you that your strengths, as well as Jacob's strengths, are unable. Jacob spins his wheels day after day to accomplish a task in his own energy, in his own strength, but becomes an absolute failure to himself. unacceptable to God, unappreciated by others. But even within himself, he was not able to accomplish what he was striving for. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I know that from the text here in Genesis chapter number 32. And the Bible said in verse 26, what is he asking this angel to do to him? To bless him. But when he disguised himself and went in to his father and acted as if that he was Esau, what did he ask his father to do to him? In his own abilities, in his own energies, in his own skills, he outwitted Esau, he outwitted his daddy, and he said, fine, at last I'm going to get the blessing. But yet, so many years later, at 93 years old, he still doesn't feel like he's blessed. He hasn't got in himself. He does not within himself think that he is blessed, or he wouldn't still be craving the blessing. He has found that in spite of selling a bowl of soup and in spite of smelling like his brother, in spite of all the deeds, that he has come up empty. But he's not the only one that's going to feel that way. As long as I'm here to tell you tonight, all that we try to accomplish in the energy of the flesh is going to leave us in a vain emptiness. It's going to be like a bubble that you reach and grab and it bursts and there's nothing in it. He was always reaching, he was always grabbing, but yet always remained empty. He could never, even with his strength, succeed to the point of which he could say, now at last I'm satisfied. He was never happy with his condition. He never could accomplish in his own way what he thought he needed. But you see, that's so in the spiritual realm. The physical can never accomplish what needs to be in the spiritual. We are unable to convict one sinner. We are unable to save one soul. We are unable to win one victory. We are unable to mend one broken heart. We are unable to calm one storm. We are unable to prevent one disaster. We are unable to pray one prayer, preach one sermon, to love one enemy, or to keep one commandment in the energy of the flesh. And the more we try, the less we succeed. Though it looks like on the outside that we have prevailed, on the inside, we are miserable. He's still wanting what he thought he could get through a bowl of soup and through a lie. Still wanting it. The scripture said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You can't engineer it. You can't orchestrate it. You can't build it, except the Lord build the house. They that labor therein labor in vain. Jesus said it so well, without me you can do what? If I understand that, that involves the totality of all of our life, our walk. You just can't do it. Now, Jacob's strength, he's strong. Nobody's going to argue the point. I wouldn't get in a ring with him. I'll guarantee you that. He's strong. But Jacob, your strengths are unacceptable to God. They're unappreciated as far as others are concerned. And they're unable to do in you what needs to be done. You're still empty. Can I say to you lastly, Jacob's strengths, and boy, here's where it hits hard. are really unnecessary. Now, if poor old Jacob's mama had told him right after he is born and instilled this in him, I don't know if it had done any good or not. He's pretty hard-headed. But if his mama, Rebecca, had told him what God told her, it would have saved him a lot of agony and a lot of exercise. Because the Bible said in chapter number 25 and verse 23 of the book of Genesis, "And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people." And notice that last phrase, what's it say? Hey, Jake, what are you doing that for? Did you know before you was even born that God said it was all yours? He never did. Somehow he felt as though it never did get across to him. And of course, that's the truth in all humanity, religiously, physically, whatever. We somehow think that there's something we got to do to get to God. And then we don't realize it all has to do with him coming to us. And if mama could have took him up on his knees and began to say to him, "Jacob, please don't fight Esau no more. Let me read you what God said. The elder shall serve the younger." Hey, Jacob, your strengths are unnecessary. You don't have to outwit Esau. That's a good bowl of soup. You're wasting your soup. You don't have to give that away. You don't have to sell it. Because it's already, what you're after, what you're going after is already yours. Don't lie to your daddy like that. What are you doing that for? Haven't I already told you? You don't have to go in and lie to him about that. Said the elder shall serve the younger. You see, the truth of the matter is God's blessings have nothing to do with our strengths. Not at all. And so therefore, when it comes to the kingdom of God, your strengths and my strengths are unnecessary. He's not looking down from heaven, picking his soldiers among the strong, as when, of course, Samuel went to anoint a king over Israel, and he began to look at the strongest and come all the way down, and God waited till he got to the youngest and apparently the weakest. And God said, "That's the one that I want." God doesn't care. Hey, there is a release and there is a relief. If I can tell you something, you don't have to be smarter than the other guy. You don't have to be bigger than the other guy. You don't have to be more talented than the other guy. You don't have to be stronger than the other guy. You don't even have to be first. All you got to be is make sure you're favored. And if you're favored by God Almighty, honey, that takes care of all the rest. And so much emphasis as far as this world is concerned is an emphasis upon who's best, who's biggest, who's strongest, who's first, who's out in front. But that's not God's emphasis. It's a matter of favor. The Bible said he loved Jacob, didn't he? Yeah. Said, "Jacob, honey, God loves you, buddy. He loves you." And I'll tell you, that's a hard thing to deal with. in all areas of life to surrender even your strengths unto God and to say, Lord, I'm not going to trust in my abilities and my talents and my powers and my strengths. Because I realize, Lord, that if you do anything through me, you will channel it through my weaknesses. You see, you don't have to go hiding your weaknesses before God because that's what He's looking for. He'll find those weak spots in you and then cause you to marvel in that He could do such mighty works amidst your weaknesses. You mark it down. It'll be at your weakest point He'll do His greatest work. Because He wants you to know that it is not through your strengths, but that He is magnified and His grace is made known, as the Apostle Paul said, through His weaknesses. And how often I confess to you that I moan over my weaknesses. And I hear the Holy Ghost say to me, would you give those to me? I can use them. He ain't never asked me for my strengths. He never has come to me and said, boy, I'm going to tell you what, can I have your, you're smart, can I have your brain, you're strong, can I have your, boy, you're fast, can I have, He never has asked me for that. But He has come into my frailties and my weaknesses, and He has used them for His glory. I found that even in my preaching. You know, it's so easy as an evangelist to rest in your good sermon. If you got one. Oh, but you find yourself resting in it. I have been humbled that in my weakest sermon that I felt as though that I stumbled all the way through it, that someone come to me and said, preacher, I'll never be the same. God has turned my life around. I've had that happen many times. I was preaching one night in a service. And when I went into it, my mind was just bogged. I couldn't think. I couldn't get my thoughts together. I stumbled all the way through that sermon. And I come up to the end, I just closed it up, and I said, God, just let me get out of here and go home. I don't even want to shake nobody's hand. A little old 16-year-old boy walked up to me with tears in his eyes. He said, preacher, I just want you to know God has changed my life tonight. I said, Lord, I'm glad you didn't pretty that sermon up. I'm glad I staggered all the way through that. Now, it felt a whole lot better if I could have hit. I'd have felt better. But I have found out that He doesn't get a whole lot out of my abilities. But boy, He can sure squeeze some juice out of my weaknesses. He said, Jacob, it's not even necessary, bud. It wasn't necessary. None of that was necessary. Isn't it something to look back over your life and the things that you've done and how much of it you could say, you know, that really wasn't necessary. It might help us as far as the future is concerned to cut out a lot of that unnecessary stuff. To when we're beginning to put forth our best to realize, I'm talking about in the flesh, that is unnecessary. Because it is not in your first, it's in His favor. That He has chosen you, that He has loved you, that He has called you out, and that He has known even before your birth that the elder shall serve the younger. He knew He was going to call me out. He knew He was going to save me He knew I was one among 11 children. He knew what He was going to do in my life. He knew He was going to call me to preach. He knew all of that. He orchestrated all of that. He did all of that before the foundation of the world. Why under God's heaven do I think I've got to impress anybody? Relax, Jacob. God's got this thing taken care of. And He won't need no help. Because He loves you. There was a young preacher I ran into up in Kentucky while I was in a meeting. And he began to share with me. He was in his mid to late 20s. How that he and his wife, some years before, had a little old boxed house, wood-framed house, and they had put it on the market and sold it to this fellow who was a realtor. And they basically forgot about it. And he said 4 years after, 5 years after that, he said, one morning I got up to get ready to go to work, and this was just months prior to when he was telling me this, and he said, I got a telephone call, and he said, the man said to me, you probably don't remember me, but he said, I bought a little house from you some 5 years ago, and he said, I was wondering if you had time, if you'd come by my house this morning, I need to talk to you. And he said, well, I got to go to work. He said, well, that's all right. Just stop by a few moments if you can. He said, I went by the man's house. And he said, the man looked at me. He said, God woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning. And he said, I'm a realtor. Said, my wife died about a year ago. He said, I'm a wealthy man. But he said, God told me what He wanted to do with my money. He said, God told me to take what I had and to make sure that you could give yourself solely to the gospel and not have to work, and you can study and preach and whatever. And he said, I told the man, well, said, sir, now you got to understand, I'm sorry. He said, no, you got to understand, this don't have anything to do with you. This is what God told me to do at 3 o'clock this morning. And he said, by the time I die, he said, everything I've got will be in your name. Now, he had already bought him a new house by the time he'd come up to Kentucky where I was at and bought him a new car. And the boy was wrestling with this and uneasy because he said, you know, I can't be locked up. But the man kept telling him, said, listen, you don't have to lock, you're not locked up in me. He said, you don't have to do anything for me. He said, this is what God's told me to do for you. And he was turning over right then at that process his properties. Over, and he said, time is over with. It's all going to be in your name. But here's the thing that jumped out at me. He said, the man called. He didn't have any children. He had nieces and nephews. And he called them all together for a meeting. And he called this young preacher. And he said, I want you to be there for the meeting. He said, okay. He said, I showed up at the meeting. And he said, the man looked around at his nieces and nephews. And he said, now here's what I'm going to give you for an inheritance. And he began to tell each one of them. He said, that's what you're going to get. I'm telling you up front. But he said, I'm going to tell you right now, the rest of what I've got is going to this preacher right here, and I don't want to hear nothing about it. No fighting or fussing. Do you understand that? And he said, they all said, yeah. But he said, the amazing thing was, I was the only one there that wasn't no blood kin to him. But yet he was telling all of them that I was getting it all. I don't know if you see that or not, but boy, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. How that the Lord Jesus has picked me out and picked you out in favor, not because of your abilities and your strengths and your skills, but because He has loved you. And He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. You're already blessed. Hey, Jacob, eat your soup, boy. You can't take no more blessing you already got. Has he not favored us? And it has had nothing to do with your ability. Don't you know that was a release for old Jacob? Especially after he's been busted up. To realize, thank God, he don't have to fight no more. Hey, Jacob, what you've been after all these years, you already had the day you was born. Isn't that amazing? That God already has your future laid out. He, in Christ, He already has it all planned out. He already has it all figured out. And all you've got to do is yield to that and rest in that. And it is taken care of. All taken care of. Signed and sealed. And you don't even have to be smart. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be big. And you don't have to worry about anybody outwitting you because they can't outwit God. I'm just afraid somebody's going to get... No, they ain't nobody going to get your blessing. They can't get there. Jacob had to find out what we all have to find out. That our greatest asset is found not in our strengths, but in our weaknesses. Because it is through our weaknesses that we yield to Him and His strength.